Hey, what's up, Toby?
Hey, buddy.
We are on again for another week
Woo-hoo.
to this week's topic.
Yeah, what's
Air
brewing?
being sass fished.
Sass fished.
It's like cat being catfished.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're in the dating pool.
Yeah, for those, maybe I'm getting catfished a lot more than I know. For those of us that are over 30, and may not be up to speed on the latest, talk to me about catfish first, and then let's talk sass.
Yeah, catfish is basically you get a picture of someone,
okay.
And the image in real life, or IRL as the kids would say, does not match. There is a total mismatch. And the thing is I think this happens with SaaS software.
So you think that there's groups of young Korean men also pretending to masquerade as attractive young women in the SaaS software space?
What I specifically see, because when you go to these people's websites, it is so pretty.
Oh, it's so elegant.
It is so elegant. It is so wonderful.
Yes.
And the video that they have on how this thing works, I mean, it can get you going.
Yeah.
Just like that fake picture.
That's right.
And that's ultimately what it ends up being. Like we end up buying these products, and sometimes companies spend a lot of money. Like Salesforce.
Yeah.
They might be the number one SaaS fisher out there.
Dude, yeah, their creative team does a spectacular job. If products work the way that the creative videos unfolded, yeah. I would love working with technology.
Maybe it's as simple as if you have actual like animated characters, you're screwed.
That's the indicator. It's like on an app when it's like, I like older men and walks on the beach, but nights in watching Netflix, you're like, yeah, no, that's fake.
Yeah.
That's clearly fake.
Well, it's just interesting. And like, it's funny because it leaves so much up for interpretation.
Yeah.
So you literally can do nothing more than just get very excited about what you think this will do for your pain.
Yeah.
Right. And the person sitting next to you, your colleagues, has a completely different pain that they're going through in their day to day, but it's going to solve their pain too. And it might not solve anybody's pain.
Yeah. I love that, because you're right. In the advertisements, with the exception of prescription medication on television, where they have to disclose a horrible, so can you imagine if SaaS ads had to disclose all the horrible side effects? You know, may cause ocular bleeding, insomnia, drive the office.
Side effects include not getting your clients to use the system, major frustration, very pissed off at the tool.
That's all right. They may stop returning your calls. Yeah.
Do not use if you're allergic to accounting software.
Maybe that's what we should be lobbying for, Chris. Maybe we found our purpose here.
There you go.
What is ours to put in the world? No, you're right, because
funny.
It is. It's just painting a picture of grass is greener. And that's what advertising is about. And so SaaS fishing, you know, they hook us, hook, line, and sinker. Very effective advertising. They've really got our pain points dialed in. They understand who their, you know, ideal customer profile is, their ICP.
Yeah.
Talk to me more about, because it sounds like there's a reason this is top of mind. What brought this up in mind this week? Did you get help?
So I went, my niece graduated, went and hung out with my brother.
Yeah.
He was talking about a SaaS product that he owns.
Okay.
That he uses, Smartsheets.
Yeah, right.
He was going to see, he told me, he's like, they're going to replace it with Rike. And I was like, what in the world? Because it was driven by his IT company, or the IT org. So they're cutting costs.
Yeah.
And so they were hook, line, and sinker on Rike, because it actually probably will solve a problem for someone somewhere.
Yeah.
But my brother's like, look, it cost me $1,000 for my license, you know, $100 a month ish.
Yeah.
But my view license are free. And like, if I go to Rike, first of all, it won't work because it's different software. Second, like, it's a different use case. It's a workflow tool versus a spreadsheet ish tool, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's different use case.
Yeah.
He's like, if I was to go to Rike, I was like, that cost me $30,000 a year because it's you know, sure, the annual cost for my license right. is $360, but it's $36 for every user, yeah. and 1,000 people use this thing. And he's like, yeah, it's not gonna work. It was pretty funny.
It's kind of the difference too. Like a mechanic might say, it's a hell of a lot easier to work on a little Cessna than the Boeing 737. But you go, yeah, but we have 1,000 people to, well, you know, we have hundreds of people to move around, and the Cessna's not going to get us there. It's, yeah. I love that. I love this. What an interesting contrast, because you're right. To one ear or to one stakeholder, it absolutely resonates with their pain point. So often in enterprise, yeah. it is a cost containment thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are two radically different products. You know,
oh, it's totally different. Both. Totally different.
Yeah.
And both are good, and both have their place, yeah. and not going to work. So why do we keep falling for this?
Yeah.
I think number one, the demo mirage.
Oh, brother. Yeah. You'd lean into that. Talked about the shifting heat waves over the sand here, the demo.
I mean, you can demo stuff to look really, really good. One, because you're not yet grounded in that tool.
Right.
And so whatever they show you, again, you let your mind go into, you know, this fantasy world of it's going to be amazing if all the things could do the things. And it doesn't work that way.
No.
Because you got to get people to adopt.
Yep.
And I do think that when you are looking to change a piece of software, you are actually looking at pain in the wrong area.
Hmm. Say more about that.
And what I mean by that is your pain is you're not getting notified, or part of the business is broken down because of bad process.
Sure.
And you're not, because your process doesn't serve you and it basically hurts you.
Yeah.
You're looking to fix something that's not really a problem, or wouldn't be a problem if your workflows were clean.
It's the same problem you're going to take over to the new product.
Oh, 100%. Right? And basically just give yourself a year, probably less, because you don't have adoption.
Totally. It's like my house is cluttered, but if I buy a new house of the same size, yeah, then you're going to take all your clutter.
100%.
That's great.
The other reason why we get baffled by this is executive FOMO.
Oh Lord, the people.
And what I mean by that is, if you go to your executive and you say, you know what, I'm going to go do some transformational work in the industry, and I'm going to give you two options here, Toby. You get to pick. Number one, we are going to transform our Salesforce instance that we already have, and it's going to take 2 years, and we just need $100,000.
Yeah.
That's your option number one. Option two is we're going to move to Ryk and Smartsheets because my golfing buddy said that he could do some things. It's going to be transformative.
Oh, yeah.
Which do we go with?
Yeah. Golfing buddy for the win.
Option number two.
Oh, Chris, I don't know. I may have brought this up because it's one of my favorite stories. I had a client, though, that came back from Christmas break, and it was the senior executive. And he said, caught up with a friend over the holidays skiing. We're going to implement SAP. Oh. Caught up with a buddy over the holidays skiing. We're buying SAP. Mm. They had about a 500-person industrial manufacturing. They did chemical manufacturing. So their actual entire finance team was like five people.
I mean, SAP for the win.
Hey, if it's good on a ski hill, it's good on the shop floor, baby. So yeah, FOMO, baby.
All right. Well, okay. Let's talk about red flags.
Probably. Yeah. What else?
Red flags.
Oh, hit it.
Ways that you know that you're being SaaS fished. It's a no code, low code, pro code, something code, maybe code solution.
It has anything but code. But
it has. I've messed around with quite a few little low code, no code things, and I stretch them pretty far. And I'm like, all you are is a form in a database. Like it's fascinating, and you know they're going to get better, but. you got people have to buy.
Can you imagine if Microsoft would have taken their Access product from 97 and just continued to make it more elegant? Like, to your point, it was forming a database and then it had reports on the other side.
Yeah.
That's all so much of this is, but it's prettier faces, you know? This is where, and I'm going to bump into my ignorance fast, but this is where Ruby and JavaScript and some of these much more visually appealing languages do a tremendous job when the basic functionality is the same thing we had 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Another red flag you see.
Another red flag, if you go to their website and they show you a video or a picture of their interface.
Yeah.
Just ask for that interface. Do a little show and tell. Say, I would like to see where that's at. I almost guarantee you with about 80% confidence that most of them are made up on Figma.
Yes.
And do not exist in reality in the UI.
Our graphic designer has imagined a world. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. That's great.
Next red flag. It will solve all the problems in the world. Every single one.
Yeah. One for you and one for you and one for you. Everybody.
And you get a solution and you get a solution. Everybody gets a solution.
Maybe that's not 100% accurate.
This is the other thing. When the add-ons or the extra items get very expensive.
I agree.
And this is ultimately my problem with Salesforce. I actually love Salesforce. I think Salesforce is fantastic. And if you have a team that does Salesforce and does Salesforce well, it will serve you very well. It will be very clicky. And it will feel like it's taking a lot of time, but the way that they collect everything is brilliant. Indeed. But if you want to have a good Salesforce instance, you better be paying. You're going to have to drop at least $250,000 on labor to support it a year.
Chris, I think that this is when we start to talk about what makes a product enterprise grade. Yeah. And I was joking about SAP earlier, because that's not how you should be selecting multi-million dollar systems. Sure. But whether it's a Salesforce or whether it is an SAP or whether it's a Tableau, there's some really spectacular tools, but it requires somebody to invest not just days or weeks, but literally years to understand the nuances.
Yeah.
Right? The richness that these tools promise also requires a richness of education for somebody to be able to unlock it. And even beyond that, getting to elegant is much more difficult.
Oh, it's super hard.
To your point, Salesforce, I've yet to use an instance that doesn't feel really chopped up because it's not easy to create elegant interfaces. It's not easy to create intelligent forms that are asking data in the right time at the right way. Yeah.
Salesforce is built to scale, but essentially it's a fancy database. I mean, it really is. And again, it's fabulous, but you could screw it up with the best of them.
Totally. Well, so there's got to be it. So how there, you know, aside from being embarrassed and getting egg on your face, just like getting catfished and discovering that you're dating a middle-aged man that you've been flirting with online. What's the impact of, you know, there's a reason why SaaS phishing is not good for the gullible. What's the impact?
I think some of it just comes down to the wasting time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the grass is always greener, spending a lot of time in just, you know, instead of fertilizing your own yard with manure, which is a great fertilizer. You're looking across to like, oh man, they've got such nice green grass over there. Like it's just that waste of time.
Yep.
And then just the stress of trying to get anybody to adopt anything is so hard. Mm.
Change is hard.
Yeah.
I've yet to encounter an organization that doesn't have two or three seismic things going on at once.
Yeah.
You know, good economy, bad economy, flat economy.
Yep.
We have people that are coming and going, we're losing key actors, we're being forced to change out software products or change our pricing or work with new customers.
Yeah.
We undervalue how painful change can be. So,
yeah, I think that that's like the next thing, you know, the next two, when it, like, the cost of doing it is just the cost of the team.
Yeah.
Because you're taking them down to run a parallel, right? If you do it right,
mm-hmm.
and you have buy-in and you have authority to actually implement something new,
yeah.
you can tear down a bunch of process debt. And it doesn't matter what you switch to.
Yeah.
Like, you could switch from PowerPoint to Excel. And not that you would, although
yeah.
some case, maybe PowerPoint to Word. You could switch from PowerPoint to Word. And just in doing that one thing, you could unstrip some of these legacy things that just aren't a thing anymore.
Well, Chris, I think that that's a really good, and we talk a lot about this process debt work. So oftentimes it's hard to argue for a budget to clean up process.
Yeah.
It's not going to be sexy. Even your example earlier, use the tool we have, invest some cycles to really remove all of the fat and unused tissue. And they're like, give us a new name.
No. Yep.
I think truthfully, I think that's why sometimes people name their systems, not by the branded provider, but they call it something else internally because it does give them a little bit more flexibility, you know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. So how do we prevent it?
Yeah. Talk to me about thoughts on prevention, because we all.
Get a sandbox.
Oh, good.
Get a demo. Get a PhD.
Yeah. Don't show me your happy path, perfectly curated landscape.
No.
Let me get messy.
Some of it's insurance. Spend a little up front.
Yeah. Good call.
To get a POC. Especially if you're going to drop hundreds of thousands, 200,000 a year.
Yeah.
Like, spend some money.
Yeah.
Give it a go, right? Put a team on it. Find some early adopters.
Yeah.
You know, get real users that are really different.
That weren't on the ski trip or weren't at the golf. Okay.
Miss the golf outing, but get people that are different, that have different opinions, that are both early adopters, because you're gonna find really good solutions when you find one that works for both of them.
It's a good call.
And then, you know, you and I talk about this a lot, but it's people, process, and tools.
Yeah.
And really manage it in that way.
Yeah.
And then when they, you know, this one's actually really good, but just watch out for integrations.
Whew. Yeah.
Because everybody wants automation and they don't understand how difficult they are.
Well, I remember when APIs and integrations first showed up, and Zapier sounded like this really magical, you know, Lego-like click-a-block.
Mm-hmm.
And what was never explained was that was just the basic handshake to say, yes, the front door is here and the other front door is there. It doesn't move anything. It does, you know, it's a shallow experience. And I think we, in the last 10 to 15 years, we've really come to understand that integrations are deep and take time to invest in.
Yeah. You're also beholden to whatever those applications are.
Yeah, you're locked
in.
So, right.
Yeah, you are limited to what the system will allow you to do.
Yeah.
And even worse, you're limited to what your people are actually going to do. And that's actually where I think they break down the most. But
yeah, the human factor is variable, right?
Oh, 100%.
No. Chris, this is a good, I love the how to defend yourself. That's a great list.
Well, I think we did it again. We made it through another one.
Just a smidge over 5 minutes, but
I think
it's worth it.
Yeah.
Careful SaaS fishing out there on the dating site. No.
Yeah. If you're going to go SaaS fishing, get a good lure.
That's right. That's right. Take some preventative measures. Hey, as always, I appreciate our conversation.
All right, man.
Good stuff.
Catch you next week.
See ya.
Bye.